Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Chof Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that you will find at the upper part of Daf Chof Ches. Hamevi get v'hinichoi zokein oichole. A shliach is charged with conveying a divorce document from a husband that was aged or infirmed. Nevertheless, no same law. The agent gives it to the wife, b'cheskas shehu kayam, assuming the status of his being alive. We're not choshesh, we don't take into consideration that since he was old or infirm, maybe he died. And if he died before the delivery of the get, so that would constitute a voidance of the agency. As we said, that we don't say. A man gives the agent a get to deliver to the wife. He delivers it without suspecting any change in status. That is what we refer to by the term chazoka. The double underline marking that you see here highlights the expression Becheskes Shehu Kayam, which you will find a repeating theme on Daf Lamed Omed Aleph and Daf Lamed Aleph Omed Aleph Mishnayos, with this concept, with this idea of Becheskes Shehen Kayomim, that they are, we assume, the originator is still alive. As we say, that will repeat itself. We continue in our Mishnah. Bas Yisrael hanesua l'kayin v'holach b'ilum nisayam. A non-Kohen woman is married to a Kohen. That enables her, entitles her to eating truma, the tithe given to Kohanim. Her husband, the Kohen, v'holach b'ilum nisayam, means he went abroad. She continues eating truma b'cheskas shukayim, based on the assumed status that he is still alive. If, of course, it's known that the Kohen husband of the Bas Yisrael died, so she would have to stop eating truma. But without any information regarding his death, we assume he is still alive. And a third area of halacha dealing with sacrifices. When one needs to bring a sin offering, the sin offering is slaughtered on behalf of the owner, assuming the owner is still alive. If he's not alive, so the sin offering doesn't fulfill its role as a source of atonement. So the third halacha in the Mishnah says, Hasholeach chatoso mimedinas hayam, one who sends his sin offering from abroad, makriven osa becheskas shehu kayam. We offer it, making on the assumption that he is still alive. The Gemara, Omar Rava lo shonu ela zaken shlo higia legvuros v'choilash and choilash sheroiv choilum lechayim. The Mishnah that says we rely on the original status, the previous known status. That is true with regard to a man who is aged, provided he hasn't reached Gvuros. Gvuros is a reference to age 80. And the reference to the Chayla, to the infirmed individual, we are able to rely on the status of his being alive, Sheroiv Chaylim L'chayim. The majority of people who are sick get better. Avol. Now, qualifications regarding these two halachas. Zokein shigi legvuros, a husband who reached 80 and he is sending a get in the attempt to divorce his wife. v'goyses, or a person who, when you last saw him, after he gave you the get, he became a goyses. A goyses is a person in the throes of death. Sheroiv goysesim lemisa lo. The majority of people that are goyses do not recover, they die. So in these two cases, we would not say that you can deliver the get, assuming he is still alive. Esve Abaye. Hamevi gave, Abaye raises an objection. Hamevi get v'nicho zokein afilu ben mea shana. Person who gives an agent a get, and he's an old man, even 100 years old, no se lo b'chezka shukayim. The get is to be given to her on the assumption he is still alive. Well, that's certainly a very solid question on what Rava said. Rava qualified old age as 80. Here it says even if he's 100 years old, give the get. So approach Aleph, first approach Tuftah. This is a refutation of Rava. The Iboy Asema, a second approach, is that when you're talking about reaching this very advanced age, we say kivan de iflig iflig. The word iflig means to distance yourself. It means, in this case, distancing yourself from the normal maximum age of people. According to Rashi, this idea of iflig sets in at age 90. In other words, the assumed status of people is up till age 80. Assumed they are still alive if you receive the get from them before they reached age 80, and from 90 upwards. The 90 upwards realm is because of this principle, kivan to iflig iflig. So where does the, let's say, Rava's halacha kick in, which said if he's higia l'gvuros, then we don't assume he's still alive? That's between age 81 and 90. We look at Rashi, iflig. V'eino kishar adam. In the source we saw a man of 100 years old. Well, he's not like normal people, regular people. Yos korov lomus. When you reach that age, you're not considered anymore like near death. You've gone to the other, we'll say the other extreme. Avol ben shmoinim v'achas o yoiser ad tishim. From 81 till 90, korov lomus hu. That's an age where we say a person is close to death. Let's continue in the Gemara. On the side, we have a nosei slash mivnet, nosei topic heading and structural note combined into one. You'll see a bow tie shape appearing. This represents stiros bein makoros beinyan I choshishin lemisa. Stiros are contradictions between Tanaic sources. Whether or not we say that misa, death, is something to suspect. The Gemara. Romi le Abaye le Rabba. Abaye raises a contradiction to the attention of Rabba. Tanan, on the one hand, it says, Hamevi get, v'nichay zokein oichayla noisein lo v'cheskas shukayam. One who conveys a get, having received it and leaving behind the husband who was old or infirmed, we give the woman the get on the assumption he is still alive. V'rominhu, and we raise as a contradiction, Hareze gitech shoachas koidum lemisoso. This is your get, and he says 1 hour before death. In other words, the get takes effect 1 hour before he dies. Asura lechol betruma miad. If the get is given by a kohen to his wife, who's a bas Yisrael, we say to her, well, as soon as you got this get, you have to stop eating truma. What do you see from here? That we assume death. We assume death quite immediately. Omar lay, so Rabba, who hears this contradiction, what do we mean by contradiction? We said in this second source we're assuming death, and the source just before, our Mishnah, we say Becheska Shukayam, we don't assume death. So Rabba says, Omar le Truma Agitin Koromis, are you raising a contradiction from two different realms, from the realm of Truma to the realm of Gitin? Truma, Efsher, with regard to Truma, we can impose a stringency because she can sustain herself through chulin, through non-sanctified, non-Truma food, which is something that anyone can eat. So we can entitle ourselves to be machmir and say, well, we're going to choshesh for death, because she has a reasonable alternative way of subsistence. Get, lo efsher, with regard to the issue of divorce, so we can't say that we're gonna choshesh for misa, because if you're gonna choshesh for misa, then people will never end up getting divorced. Rashi says, get lo efshul amechash lemisa. With regard to get, we're not gonna be able to consider, well, maybe he died. De'i chayshis ein l'chosh shalech get lishto. If you're going to start worrying about, well, maybe he died, people are not going to send divorce documents to their wives. In the meantime, the husbands are not around. They're relying on the agency. And if you're going to tell me, well, you can't rely on the agency because maybe the husband died, v'hein agunos, and the women are then going to remain in a lurch, meaning with the inability to marry someone else. So with regard to get, we don't have any other alternatives. We have to say, b'chezkas shukayim, we assume he is still alive. V'romi truma atruma. Now, let's raise a seeming contradiction regarding the realm of Truma. Tanan. Source number one. Bas Yisrael ha-nesua l'kohen v'olach bayu l'vidas hayam. A non-kohenes marries a kohen, and her husband, the kohen, goes abroad. V'ocheles b'truma b'cheska shukam. She continues eating Truma with the assumption that her husband is still alive. Of course, as we said before, that's what entitles a Bas Yisrael to eat Truma, the fact that she's married to a kohen. V'raminu, and we raise a contradiction, source number two. Hare zegitech shoachas koidem misaso. The source we saw before, a man who's a kohen gives his wife, the non-kohenes, a get and says, this is your get 1 hour before death. In other words, the get will take effect 1 hour before he dies. Asur lecho betruma miyad. She must stop eating truma immediately. Well, why? Because we're assuming that he might die any moment. So we are choshesh for misa. And we don't say that the becheska shukayom, that he's going to remain alive. Omar Rav Ado Breid Rav Yitzhak. You can see we have a triangle around him and a few lines later Abaye. On the side under the Mivne heading, these are Yishuvim resolutions Lestira B'mekoros Min Yitruma Yichushin Misa Oiloi. To resolve the seeming contradiction within the realm of Truma. So Rav Ado Breid Rav Yitzhak tells us Shaini Hosam Shere Asra Alav Shaw Achas Koidem Misaso. Source number two doesn't mean we're choshesh that he is dead. But rather, in source number two, the restriction is a function of the prohibition setting in while he is still alive. He said, Shaw achas koidem lemisaso. The divorce, he stipulates that divorce takes place an hour before he dies. We look at Rashi, Shaini Hosam, Share Osro, Shaw, Achas, Koidem, Lemisaso. The Rashi that we're looking at and reading together about a quarter of the way up from the bottom, Lo'olam lo chayshinon lemisa. We will tell you that we're not choshesh that the man is dead. The Shaini Hocha, this is different, Share Osro, Mechayim, Shaw, Achas, Koidem, Misaso. Here the prohibition sets in an hour before death. The Chol Shaito, any given hour, Iko Lesvuki, Bahi Shaito, Shasido Leoser. Any given hour is reasonable for us to suspect that it's this hour that represents the hour before the prohibition sets in. Rashi points out the shinuyo dechikahu. This is it's a rather contrived answer. Dechika means pressed. It's not a smooth answer. V'hainu deporach le. And the Gemara will ask on this, Vilav de Chayshinon Lemisa, Mimai Dahave Gita de Lioilum Humayis Beresha, Vinesra Mechayim, Dilmohimayis Beresha, Veloyovo Lechlal Get Lioilum. This is what we will be asking now. So instead of translating in the Rashi, we go back to the Gemara. Maskif Law Rav Popa. Mimai de'ihu mayas beresha. Who is to say that he will die first, which would make it into a get, and she would become usur in truma? The condition that was stated was, this is your get 1 hour before I, the husband, dies. So the get will become a get, assuming, of course, that he predeceases her. Dilma ihi maiso beresha. Maybe the woman will die first. If the woman dies first, the get never becomes a get. So the answer, the resolution that Rav Ado gave, is predicated on an assumption that he will definitely die first. That assumption is quite questionable. Elo Omar Abaye Lo Kashya Ha de Rabbi Meir de Lo Chayish Lemisa Ha de Rabbi Yehuda de Chayish Lemisa. The two sources are not contradicting; they simply represent two different Tanaic opinions. Rabbi Meir doesn't consider the possibility of death, and that would be source number one. And Rabbi Yehuda appears to be someone who considers the possibility of death, hence we see the restriction in source number two. And now the Gemara gives us the Tanaic source where you see Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Disnan, halokeach yayin mibein hakusim. I imagine most of you are probably quite familiar with this source. We learned it rather recently. One who purchases wine from amongst the kusim, these are people that you cannot trust with regard to their having tithed the trumas and maestras, and if you bought wine from them before Shabbos, Shabbos is a day in which one is not allowed to engage in tithing. So what do you do if you bought wine from them and it's Shabbos is about to set in and you don't have any tohor vessels, undefiled vessels into which to place the tithes? Tithes, of course, one should maintain their purity, their tara, not allow them to become tome. So what do? Omer, so you make a declaration, Shnei lugim shani osib lahafrish, harei hein truma. Two of the 100 lug is a liquid measure, 2%, I am dedicating right now as truma. Asora meiser rishon, 10%, 10 of the 100 lug I'm dedicating as meiser rishon, the tithe given to the Levi. Tisha meiser sheni, 10% that remains after you tithed the meiser rishon, leaving approximately 90 lug left. So 10% of that is 9 lug I'm dedicating as the meiser sheni tithe. And meiser sheni is a tithe that the owner keeps, but he takes the produce, in this case the wine, to Jerusalem. And if he can't take the wine, so he is podet the wine. He redeems the value of the wine onto money and takes the money to Jerusalem. That process is called umechal. Mechal, lechalel, is to redeem. Umechal, he then redeems the sanctity of the 9 lug of meiser sheni wine onto money. V'shoseh miyad, divrei Rabbi Meir, and he immediately drinks. In other words, the tithes, well, that will be which he leaves over at the end. The 21 lug, 2 plus 10 plus 9 lug, the 21 lug that he will leave over at the end will be the tithes. That's Rabbi Meir's opinion. He is not choshesh. He is not concerned that maybe the flask in which the tithes will be left will break and the tithes will never come to be. They'll just spill out. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Osrin. These three Tanoim, and we've dashed underlined Rabbi Yehuda, they prohibit this procedure because they're afraid that the node will break. Now, the breaking of the node, the breaking of the flask, is the parallel to Misa. So as far as Abaye is concerned, the sources that we numbered 1 and 2, seeming contradiction regarding Truma, are you Choshesh for Misa or not? There's no contradiction. The source that said we're not Choshesh for Misa, our Mishnah, that would be, well, I should say the opinion reflected our Mishnah, our Mishnah dealt with get, but the opinion reflected in source number 1 regarding the Truma, that the Bas Yisrael that's married to the Kohen and he went abroad, she continues eating Truma, assuming he is alive, that's in the spirit of Rabbi Meir. The second source, which indicates that the woman married to the Kohen has to stop eating Truma immediately, that's because we're Choshesh for Misa, that's in accordance with Rabbi Huda. Rava Omar. Notice another triangle, another attempt to resolve the sources. Rava says, and we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Shema Meis Lo Chayshinon. To suspect that he has already died, that we don't suspect. Shema Yomus Chayshinon. However, suspicion that someone might die, that we do take into consideration. And we take a look at Rashi at the top. Shemo meis lo chai shinan dukminon achazoka shinichol chai. If a person left an individual while he was alive, we assume that he is still alive. So we saw the husband of the Bas Yisrael, that what he was a Kohen who went abroad. She last saw him alive. So we assume he's still alive. Since he didn't divorce her, she doesn't become prohibited in Truma unless he dies. The case of the husband giving the wife a get, saying, stipulating that it should take effect an hour before he dies, l'shema yamus miyad vayda chashino, that he might die immediately. We consider that. The lo meira lo l'chazoka b'hochi. By making that assumption, we're not tampering with his current status. His current status is one of being alive. The get is to take effect while he is still alive, namely an hour before he dies. So we're maintaining his chazoka. We're not trying to alter that. Therefore, we are choshesh. Maybe he will die in the next hour. In contrast to the halacha that didn't involve any get or any stipulations. It's just a question, is he still alive? So there, we assume he is still alive. We're maintaining a status. So whenever you're maintaining a status, if there is no other thing to suspect, i.e. to suspect that maybe he died, we don't suspect maybe he died. And therefore, in the case of the woman whose husband went abroad, the Kohen went abroad, she last saw him alive, she assumes he is still alive. So as you can see, there's no contradiction. The main consideration, according to Rava, is that we are trying to maintain the given status. If through maintaining the given status, that nevertheless results in a stringency, so be it. But we're not changing the given status. Omar le Rav Ado bar Matana le Rava. V'ha noid de kishema yomus hu upligi. Rav Ado asks Rava, you Rava just tried to answer that the two sources are not contradictory and everyone can agree with source 1 and everyone can agree with source 2. But in source 2, we explained the reason for the prohibition is because we're choshesh for a future change in status. In other words, the next hour he might die. And you're saying that a case like that where we're assuming a future change in status, where the prohibition per se is not a result of the already changed status. It's a result of assuming a future change status. And you're saying everyone agrees with that. Well, Rav Avda says, in the case of the node, the wine, where we saw Rebbe Meir saying it's okay to rely on the future remaining tithes, and Rebbe Yehuda saying it's you cannot rely on that. Why? Dekeshemo yomushu upligi. That is like the case of it might break, which is like saying he might die. And we saw in the case of the wine, which is parallel to Shemo Yomus, future change, and there is a machlokis, namely Rebbe Meir is not Choshesh. Alma Rav Yehuda mi Diskarta. That's his name is Rav Yehuda from Diskarta. Shiny node, the case of the node is different, namely Rebbe Meir can afford to be lenient and not worry. No, it is different. The Efshad de Moser Le Lishomer. You can give the mo, you can place it in the hands of a guard. You can't do that in the case of a person's life. His life breath is not something you can give over to someone to watch. But where you can give the item to over to someone to watch, we can be Mekel. Maskif lo Rav Misharshia, Arvech, Arvatzorich. Well, the one that you are giving over to watch, he needs to be watched. Namely, the transfer of the wine to a shomer, that doesn't guarantee the maintenance of the wine. Elo oma rovo, shemo meis lo chayshinon. To assume that there is already a change in status that we don't assume, and therefore everyone agrees that where we would raise the possibility of maybe he died, no one will say thusly. Shemo Yomus, the question of some that there might be a future death or future breaking of the vessel, Tanoihi. That's a machlokes Tanoim. Rebbe Meir against the other three Tanoim, Rebbe Reb Shimon and Rebbe Yossi. Hasholeach Hatosam Imedinas Hayam Vechulei. The Gemara asks, regarding someone who sends a sin offering to the Beis HaMikdash, the owner is not there, so is there not a problem in the very ability to offer such a sacrifice? Do we not require the process of hands placing on the head of the sacrifice immediately before its slaughter? And that cannot be done by the agent. So how can a sin offering be sent to begin with from abroad? Omar of Yosef, answer number one. Bekorban Noshim. We're talking about a woman's sin offering. The halacha of smicha doesn't apply to women. Women are not obligated to place their hands on their sin offering. So a woman's sin offering was sent, and as we said in the Mishnah, it's offered on the assumption that she is still alive. Rav Papa Omar, Bechatos Ha'oif. The Mishnah made reference to a sin offering, but it's a bird sin offering that has no smicha requirement. And now the Gemara makes a point. It's a long point. Till the Mishnah, you can see we have diamonds that highlight on the side. Havlota under our Mivneh heading, we've written Havlotos Shalosh Hadugmoy Shel Mishnasenu Deboem Soim Hacheskes Chaim Utzrich Lukulo. We are highlighting the three examples featured in our Mishnah where we work with the assumption that the original party is still alive, and we need to teach each one of the examples. By having taught one, I wouldn't have been able to figure out the others. The Gemara, Utsricha, I need them. The Yashmin and Get. Had we taught the halacha of a get sent from abroad, mishum delo efsher, as we explained, if we don't rely on that, so people, men who are distant from their wives, will never send gittin, because they won't be delivered, because we'll start worrying about maybe he died. And ain't get lachar misa, get cannot be delivered after he died. And the woman will remain unmarried, she'll remain an aguna. So therefore, in the case of get, out of lack of option, we are forced to rely on his still being alive. Avol, truma de'efsher emalo. But with regard to truma, which is the, we'll say, her source of food, there are other food options for her. She can eat from chulin, so that if her husband, the Kohen, went abroad, maybe we should assume he is dead. Had I been taught just the case of the get, where we assume he is alive, I wouldn't have said the same thing by truma, because there, if we would impose this stringency of, well, maybe he's dead, she still has a means of sustenance by eating chulin. Therefore, I have to tell you the case of truma as well. V'yashmin truma, and had we taught the case of truma, the zinnin de lo efsher, there are times where she doesn't have the option of buying chulin. For example, if she's impoverished, all the food she gets is the tithe that would be given to her husband, the Kohen. Therefore, we're forced to rely on his still being alive in order for her to continue eating the truma. Avo chatosoif, mi sfeika lo leo chulin lazora. But with regard to the sin offering, the bird sin offering, there, by bringing it on the assumption that he's still alive, maybe he's not. And if he's not alive, then I'm in violation of a sin known as chulin bazora, bringing in something that is not fit as a sacrifice. If the owner died, so the sacrifice is not fit to be brought as such, so it's considered the mundane chulin, brought into the Azor, into the temple courtyard, which is prohibited. And so I would have thought maybe we should be restrictive in that case of the chatas sent from abroad. Tzricha, therefore we have to tell you, no, we're not going to suspect that he's dead, and therefore be in violation of chulin lazara. The Mishnah. Shloisha dvorim, Omar Reb Elozer ben Prota lefnei chachomim, v'kaimu es dvorav. There are 3 points that Rebbe Elozer said in the presence of the elders, of the sages, and they substantiated his teaching. Al yir shikifu akarkoim, regarding a city that was surrounded with a siege upon it. V'al hasfina hamutrefes bayom, on a boat that is in danger at sea, but it has not sunk. And v'al hayotze lidon, a person who is going out, he's on his way to be judged on a capital case, shehein b'cheskes kayomin. All of these cases represent situations where we assume the parties are still alive. Avol, ir shekovsha karkom, but a city that was conquered by an invading party, an invading force. Usfino sha'avda bayom, a boat that's lost at sea. Vayotze lehoreg, a person who is going out to be killed, to be executed. This is in contrast to the person going to be judged. This is talking about a case of a person being led to his execution. Noisnim aleim choymri chayim v'choymri mesim. The people here are labeled as having the stringencies of life and death. Where do you see that? Bas Yisrael LeKohen, Ubas Kohen LeYisrael, 2 cases. A Bas Yisrael LeKohen, a woman, a non-Kohenes, that's married to a Kohen, we're going to assume that he is dead, and therefore she'll have to stop eating Truma. Ubas Kohen LeYisrael, a Bas Kohen, when she marries a Yisrael, though in her father's house she was allowed to eat truma, but being married to a non-Kohen, she stops eating truma. So in a case like this, where a Bas Kohen is married to Yisrael, we're going to apply Chomrei Chayim, assumption he is still alive, and therefore not eat from truma. So in Bas Yisrael Kohen, she's not going to be eating truma as a result of applying Chomrei Mesim, assumption that the Kohen husband is dead. And here we're going to apply the Kohen, the assumption of life, to the non-Kohen husband. Thereby, in both cases, she cannot eat from truma. That's lo tochal betruma. Now, as we continue in the Gemara, we notice some markings. And on the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei / mivne heading. Bow tie is featured. The bow tie represents, we'll say, shnei lishonos. We have also numbers, Roman numerals 1 And two, these are Shnei Lishonos Hafuchos Shel Rav Yosef, two opposite versions of Rav Yosef Beha Dikotoni Hayotzeg Lehoreg Noisim of Chomer Chaim. In our Mishnah, we saw that a person who is Yotze Lehoreg, he's on his way to be executed. The Mishnah said, Noisim of Chomer Chaim Vachomer Mesim. In this discussion, we want to focus on the term Chomrei Chayim. Once again, a person is on his way to be executed. Do we assume that he is still alive? So, approach Lashon number one, Dafka based in Yisrael, only in a case of a Jewish court that is about to oversee the execution of the defendant. Why are we going to say, well, maybe he's still alive, that we're Chomer Chaim, we suspect he's still alive? Why? By Beis Yisrael, the Moitzim Zechus. The court procedure with Jewish court cases involves the possible finding of merit that would stop the execution. That will be contrasted with executions overseen by Gentile courts. Losha number two, Davko Bebezin Shel Goyim, the Mekabli Shoichada. Only in idol worshiper courts will we say, well, maybe he's still alive, and why? Because they will accept bribes. In exchange for bribes, they'll spare the defendant's life. So we have to assume that maybe he's still alive. We'll be highlighting two expressions with a double underline, lo shanu and avol. The lo shanu expression refers to that the Mishnah's teaching is only under this circumstance, and then in contrast, avol, a contrast expression, so you can easily see the two points of contrast. After we present Rav Yosef, triangles will begin to appear in the sugya. The triangles represent kushios al lishna rishona. They're questions raised against the first version. When we present the second version at the bottom line of this omid on daf chav tes omid aleph, there will set in a series of questions that we highlight with a house marking. Let me correct myself. The correction. The house marking represents two attempts to support the second Lashon. You will notice when we go through the Gemara that there's a certain mirror image between the second Lashon and the first Lashon. So that in the first Lashon where questions are raised, in the second Lashon the same sources will be presented as support as opposed to questions. Now the Gemara. Omar Rav Yosef, lo shanu, that which the Mishnah said, that yotze lehoreg, someone who is on his way to execution, we make the assumption that he may very well be alive. The Mishnah said, chomrei chayim v'chomrei meisim, but we're focusing on the chomrei chayim aspect. That's elo bebeisdin shel Yisrael. That's when the execution is through a Jewish court. Why are we not assuming that he definitely was killed? Because they may have found some merit and therefore preserve him. When it comes to Gentile courts, when they rule that the defendant is to be executed, they will definitely execute him. Amale Abaye. Abaye asks on point number two that Rav Yosef just mentioned. Idol worshiper courts, why do you assume that the defendant has been killed? They accept bribes, and maybe the defendant had bribed, or his family members bribed the executioners, and he's still alive. Rav Yosef says, yes, they take bribes, but that's before the final verdict is signed. This expression of Pursei Shanmag is a, Rashi says, is a Persian expression referring to a final ruling, a psak din. However, Lebosu Demechtam Pursei Shanmag Lo Shakli. Once the final verdict is signed, they will not accept bribes. So that our Mishnah is describing a Yotzi Lahoreg after the Pursei Shanmag was signed. Meisvei. This is a question on point one of Rav Yosef. Point one of Rav Yosef said that when it comes to Beis and Shel Yisrael, we assume, we apply Chomrei Chaim. The source says, Kol Mokim Shiamdu Shnayim V'yomru. Wherever two witnesses arise and proclaim, Me'idim Onu Es Ishploni Shenigmar Dino B'Beis Dino Ishploni. This source we'll see shortly is describing a person that escaped an original court. Two witnesses arise in some other location and they say, you see that guy over there? We're Mayid. We testify regarding Ish so-and-so that he had a final verdict in such and they specify which court. Uploni, Uploni, Adov, and they mention the names of the witnesses that saw the defendant, in this case the escapee, having violated a capital offense. Arei ze yohareg. He is to be executed. And we're not choshesh that, well, maybe they found some kind of merit on his behalf. So how is it that Rav Yosef in Botai, number one, explained in his point number one that when it comes to Beis Yisrael, we apply Chomrei Chaim, he mased the blood because of Zechus. Here we don't seem to be concerning ourselves with maybe they found some merit. The Gemara says, well, this is different. Dilma Boreach Shiny. It could be that when you're dealing with a person who ran away, is an escapee, that's different. That's a sure sign that there was no merit to be found on his behalf to begin with. Question. Notice we have a long question marking followed by a long answer. Toshma. Shoma mi based in Shei Yisrael Shei Omrim. Someone heard that from a Jewish court there came out the following message. Shei Omrim ish ploni meis, ish ploni nerag. So and so died, or so and so was executed. Yossi was ishto, his wife can remarry. If, however, it was heard, mi kuman treisen sheloiv de kechavim. Rashi says, kuman treisen are memunim lehorek, Gentile executioners. That they heard from them, ish ploni mace, ish ploni nerak, so-and-so, Jewish man, died, or so-and-so was executed. Well, Yossi was ishto. His wife cannot remarry. My mace umay neherag. What do the terms mace and neherag mean? He limo mace mamish venerag neherag mamish. The words are to be taken literally that mace means he's already dead. But neherag means he was already executed. The parallel case by the idol worshippers. Why would the source say al yosiu es ishto? His wife cannot remarry. Ha kaimalon. We have a principle. The komesiach lefitumo heimune mehemni lei. People who tell stories without knowing that what they're saying has any legal implication. Mesiach lefitumo. They're telling stories. We believe them, including Gentiles. So why would the source say that if mace and nerag mean those terms like in the past tense, that these are things that have already taken place, why would we not believe the kuman treisen shelo de kechavim? Elolav, rather, you have to say, mace means yotze lomus, nerag yotze lehoreg. The term mace and nerag are actually future expressions, that he is going out to his death, or he's going out to be executed. Vikotoni, and it said in the source, based in Israel, Yasiu es ishto. If word came forth from a Jewish court, he's as good as dead. He has all that came out is an information that he's on his way to be executed. But if you are Choshe Shemo Yimtzalo Yischus, that maybe they found merit for him, how can you be so free as to say that, well, we'll allow his wife to get remarried, maybe he's still alive, maybe they found some kind of merit? The Gemara reverses. Li'oilo meis mamish, v'nerag mamish. The source is referring to post facto. That word went out from these sources, either Beis in Shisrael, Kumetres in Shalavikovim, that so-and-so is already dead, or someone was already executed. Udekoamris, and you asked, well, the Kavosega biyovdi chayachovim amai lo. Why then, by the idol worshipper source of information, do we not rely? V'ha'kaimalon dechol mesiach lefitumo hemune mehemne. We have a principle that people who are telling stories on their own without recognizing there's any legal implication to them, we believe them. So the Gemara says that is true. However, hani mili b'milsa delo shaychi bay. That's when they're telling stories that don't embellish them, that don't serve as a source of pride for the storyteller. Avo b'milsa de shaychi ba, when the storyteller has a vested interest in the story, even though he doesn't know that what he's saying has legal implications, but by telling the story, he can also achieve some kind of aggrandizement, some kind of praise and pride through the story. Avdi lachzuki shikrayhu, they'll lie. And in this case, the kumentresin shalevdi kechavim, those are people that take pride in people being executed at their hands. So even though someone wasn't necessarily executed, they'll tell a story. Oh, so and so was in the, using the past tense. We oversaw their execution, when in fact it didn't really take place. Rashi says, "Deshaychibah ki hacha shemisparim shahar gubadin." They're prideful that they, through their judicial procedure, they saw someone exit. They oversaw someone's execution. Avidi l'shaker, Rashi says, v'lomar neherag, and say he was killed. V'afal pi shaloru elo yotzei. Don't even know, they didn't actually see him dead. All they saw him was going on his way to be executed. Iko di amri, Omar of Yosef, lo shanu. That which we taught in the Mishnah, that Yotze Lehoreg is considered having the stringency of still being alive, that's when you're dealing with someone who is being sent out to execution by an idol-worshipping court, because they take bribes, and the person who was on his way to be executed maybe really was never actually executed. Avol, we continue at the top of Dav Chof Tes. Avol b'beis din shel Yisrael, when the person that was yotzei lehoreg, that was being taken out to be executed, was by a Jewish court, kiven d'nofak le'dino l'katlo, once there is a verdict ruling that he is to be executed, katle, he will be executed. Therefore, we say that in that case, Rav Yosef says, there's no chomrei chayim. We assume that he is dead, with whatever halachic implication that has. But we don't impose upon him a double stringency. Amalei Abaye, based in Shel Yisrael Nami, Efshe Dechozu Leizechusa, even in the case of a Jewish court, just because the Jewish court ruled he is to be executed, and he's Yotzeler, is on his way to execution, is it not possible that they found some merit whereby we would stay the execution? The Gemara says, "Ki chosulei zchusa mekami deligmar dina." The possibility of a merit preventing his execution, that is only before the final verdict. Boser de gomar dina sulo chosulei zchusa, after the final verdict, we don't find merit. Rashi at the top says, Su lo chozulei zchusa klomar lo shachiach. It's very uncommon at that late stage that merit would surface. Hilkuch lo misafkinon bochi. Therefore, since it's so unusual, we don't consider it, and therefore we would not apply chomrei chayim. We'll assume that he was executed. Lema Misayale. Can we support point number two of Rav Yosef? Namely, that after the Gemar Dinin of Beis and Shisrael, he's considered dead. The source says, again, we saw this on the previous Omid of Gemara, Kol Mokom Shamdu Shnai V'yomru, whenever two arise and say, Meidim Onu Esish Ploni Shenigmar Dino Bebeis Dino Shel Ploni, we testify regarding that guy, that so-and-so over there, that he had a final verdict of execution in such and such a based in Uploni Ploni Edovin. They specify who the witnesses were. Hareze Yahareg, he is to be killed. So we see that we don't assume any discovery of merit. The Gemara says Dilma Boireach Shani could be in a case when you're dealing with an escapee, just like this source is dealing with. There we are assuming. There we're assuming no merit. There we're assuming he will be killed. He is to be killed. But if you're not dealing with a boreach, someone running away, just because he was Yotzei Lahoreg doesn't mean we're not going to suspect maybe he remained alive through Metzias Chus. Ta Shma. Again, a source we just saw on the previous Omid. Shoma mi Beisdin shel Yisrael shel Yu Omrim ish ploni meis ish ploni nerag. Yasius ishto. It was heard from a Jewish court that so-and-so is dead or was executed, his wife can remarry. When you hear from Gentile executioners the same kind of story, the woman is not to remarry. My meis u my nerag. What do these terms mean? Lemo meis mamish v'nerag mamish. Literally, past tense, he's already dead, he was already executed. The kavo se gabi yoiv dikachove mamai al yasiu is ishto. In the parallel case, with regard to the idol worshippers, why would the source rule that the woman is not to remarry? All kaimalon, but we have a rule. Kol mesiach lefitumo heimune mehem neile. Anyone who is telling a story without recognizing that it has legal implications, we believe them, even idol worshippers. Why then would it say she cannot remarry? They're telling a story of her husband being killed. Elolav, it must be then Mace is Yotze Lomus, Nerag Yotze Lohareg. It's a future, a story of the future, of something that will take place. Vikotoni, the Bezin Shah Yisrael Yosiu Asishto. And when this information comes forth from a Jewish court, he's considered, the husband's considered as good as dead, and the woman can remarry. That is in accordance with what Rav Yosef said. That we don't assume him to still be alive when you're dealing with Beis and Shel Yisrael. The Gemara says, no support. Li'olam meis, mamish v'nerag, mamish, dekavasei gabi yoiv dekechava mamai lo. And then you ask, well, if it's a past tense story, why would you not believe the idol worshippers? For kaimalon, the komesich lefitumo hemune mehamne, do we not have a rule that people who are telling stories, we believe them? Well, hani mili b'milsa delo shaycheba. That's when the story has no direct effect on the storyteller, whereby he doesn't have anything to gain by the inflated story. Avo b'milsa de shaychebe, if it's a story that he has personal gain from, avdi lachzuki shikrayu, they will tell the story. Maintaining their lie in the story, being that the lie that the so-and-so has already been executed would have been a source of pride for them, when in fact they didn't see him already executed. All they saw was a person being taken out to be executed, but that the actual execution took place, that never really necessarily happened. And therefore, in the case of Kumitresen Shel of the Kechavim, we say Al Yosius Ishto. But as far as the source being a support for Rav Yosef, the source is not talking about a case of Yotze Lehoreg at all. And therefore, it doesn't support what Rav Yosef was saying regarding the Mishnah that spoke about Yotze Lehoreg, someone who is being taken out to be killed. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.